Australia's housing crisis is getting worse. New homes aren't being built fast enough. Supply is near its lowest in a decade. Earlier in the year, the National Housing Supply and Affordability Council reported 177,000 homes were built in 2024, falling short of the 223,000 expected. That makes the federal government's target of 1.2 million new homes in 4 years look unlikely. There are plenty of reasons for this shortfall. Soon, you'll hear from a housing expert on what needs to change. One promising fix is modular housing. This report says it could cut build times by 20 to 50%. New South Wales is already testing it, with factory-built social homes nearly finished. So, could modular homes be key to solving Australia's housing crisis? I'd love to hear from you on this. Are you trying to get into the housing market, build a home, or just hold on to your rental? What barriers have you hit? Could something like modular housing have made things easier for you? Well, Brendan Coates is the Housing and Economic Security Program Director at the Grattan Institute and joins me now. Brendan, the National Housing Supply and Affordability Council report says we're falling short on housing supply. Why?
Well, there's three real reasons. It's probably never been a harder time to get more housing built in Australia than it has been in the last 3 years, because interest rates have risen really sharply. So they've gone up, you know, 4 percentage points in the course of, you know, less than 18 months. They're now on their way down. But we know from Reserve Bank research that every 1 percentage point increase in interest rates basically means housing approvals are about 7% lower the following year. The second reason is because the cost of construction has gone up really sharply, you know, 30 plus percent over the course of the last 3 or 4 years. And that's made a lot of projects that would otherwise be feasible be infeasible. And then there's issues around labour. So, you know, we've got a full employment economy. That's a great thing. Unemployment is, you know, hovering around 4%. But it's made it harder for the construction industry to find workers, particularly some of those skilled workers that are often otherwise being employed building these big infrastructure projects in states like Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. You put those three things together and it's a really difficult picture for home building at the moment.
So how do new home builds numbers compare to the number of families on the public housing waiting list?
That's a great question. I don't have the numbers in front of me on the public housing waiting lists because it does run in the tens of thousands across particularly the bigger states. So we're in a world right now where social housing is, you know, obviously the thin end of the wedge. If you're trying to get on the social housing waiting list, it's because you're struggling to afford housing and you're a vulnerable or otherwise low-income earner. But just more broadly, we've seen the fact that rents and house prices have risen sharply across Australia in the last few years, particularly since the pandemic. That means many more Australians are struggling to pay to keep a roof over their head than what they were, say, 5 years ago.
So you visited a site outside Melbourne where modular housing is being built. It's a sort of prefabricated or blocks of houses that can kind of be put together a bit like Lego. What does that look like?
Well, it's a pretty impressive process. So this is very common in places like Sweden where most housing is built in a prefabricated setting, in a factory and then installed on site. And Australia is a real laggard here where, you know, estimates are that somewhere between 5 and 10% of housing in Australia is prefabricated to some degree. Obviously, that's a spectrum, right? Because, you know, if you buy a set of windows and they've been made in a factory in China, that is still technically a form of prefabrication. It's not all being put on site. The challenge, though, is that we just don't have that scale in Australia. So I did a visit to Modscape, which is a prefabricated housing factory in Essendon Fields in Melbourne. And it's impressive. You see robots putting together a house frame or an apartment frame within about 3 hours. You know, a house takes 2 weeks just from start to finish to be built.
That's crazy.
But obviously that's a lot of capital that's had to be invested in the factory to get it up and running, and it's not necessarily cheaper at the moment.
So I'd like to bring in my other guest who's looking at modular housing in a new way and saying that it could be at least part of the solution to bring costs and build times down. Professor Matthew Aitchison is the Chief Executive Officer of Building 4.0 Cooperative Research Centre, which is at Melbourne University. He's currently working with Homes New South Wales. Matthew, what you're doing is a bit different to the modular housing that Brendan was just talking about. Walk me through what you're involved with.
Thanks. It is a little different than what Brendan was just talking about in the example of, say, Modscape. I guess you'd say the conventional wisdom in the prefabrication, industrialized building, offsite construction industry, it's got many names in case you couldn't guess, has been to do as much as you can offsite, minimizing the amount of hours on site to increase the speed and use the factory process as much as possible. As Brendan just intimated, that can be very costly. You have to set up that factory, you have to run that factory, and in some cases you're competing with an on-site industry that really has no overheads and is extremely flexible. So what we're attempting with our partners at Homes New South Wales and the New South Wales government is to try to find a midway solution, if you like, where we split the building up into products, much like you would a flat-packed piece of furniture from IKEA. Those products can be made by a network of suppliers, and those products come together on site and fit together like an IKEA product on site.
If it's happening off site, is it really that much quicker then, or are we just not seeing that prefab part of the process?
Well, our contention is it's definitely much quicker. I think one of the issues with the business model of what I'm going to call today conventional prefab is that everything is done in the one factory, or most things are done in the one factory. And as I said before, we're trying to ship as much of that finished product to site. Really, the hypothesis we're working on in New South Wales is that we would like to have as many manufacturers as possible out there in industry making as many of these parts as possible. And that doesn't have to be in the same factory, right? So we are getting the manufacturing uplift, the productivity uplift from doing things in a controlled setting, like in a factory. But we're also acknowledging that there'll always be a part of building that needs to be adjusted and be flexible for what needs to be done on site. Let's say around 20% of the building work will still be done on site, and those parts, if you like, will be fitted together using the 20% of that glue, if you like.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking about whether partly prefabricated or modular homes could be part of the housing supply question and what it could mean here in Australia. Darcy from Bell in New South Wales says, my wife and I just finished building a modular or prefab home in the Blue Mountains. It was built in a factory in Gosford and brought up via truck in two pieces. It took 5 weeks to build a 100 square metre home in the factory and a few days to install on site. The biggest hurdle for first home builders is seeking finance for such builds. Banks struggle to lend money like they do for conventional builds. Also, John in Newport's texted in saying, it's the planning system. I've just spent over $60,000 getting a development approval for a single house. So, Brendan, how can the back end of the finance system and the housing development system keep up if it's not just about the build times being long, it's also all these other processes that can slow people down?
That's right, Tegan. So the existing systems of finance, of planning approvals, of building approvals, you know, have been developed around the idea of what Matthew's calling, say, traditional construction, stick builds, where all that construction occurs on site. There are stages through which, the things are checked off by building surveyors or regulators, and the same with the finance as well. Whereas, that we need probably different systems if we're going to be able to efficiently deploy, modular or prefab or industrialized construction. There are a lot of names for what we're talking about here. If we're going to deploy them at scale in a way that is efficient and effective for the industry and for the end consumer. And I'd probably defer a bit to Matthew, who knows the regulatory regime more strongly than I do, but certainly there are things we need to do to make that system more efficient than it is today.
I do want to come to you, Matthew, with the caveat that we don't have much time left. What needs to change and what kind of timeline are you on with the project you're working on?
Well, just quickly, the timeline, the project's been running now 1 year. We're coming up to a major showcase, which will occur in September, and we expect the program to continue for another 2 years. Look, what needs to change? I think this is where the State of the Housing System for 2025 report gets it right. It needs to be a holistic solution. So you've mentioned regulations, your listener mentioned banking. There's been a lot of work on the skills and training aspects. All of these things have to proceed in step. What I would probably draw attention to is something that's been appearing in all of the reports lately as it concerns housing, and that's around productivity. We're not going to get to higher productivity in housing and construction more generally if we don't pursue innovative processes. So whether it's conventional modular, whether it's what we're attempting to do in New South Wales by splitting up the building into different parts, I welcome every and any innovation project that can be done at the moment, because we're not good at it. The Productivity Commission report from February this year shows exactly how bad construction is at innovation. And I think in the short term, we need to pull all levers and try all things. And in the longer term, we really need to address why innovation has been so bad in the construction industry.
Thank you both so much for your insights. Professor Matthew Aitchison, the Chief Executive Officer of Building 4.0 Cooperative Research Centre with Melbourne University, and Brendan Coates, the Housing and Economic Security Program Director at the Grattan Institute. And thank you for your texts. Damien says, after getting more than 20 quotes from builders and building companies, I went with a factory-built home in northern New South Wales. It was made of three pieces, delivered and installed in one day.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.